Hey, everybody. It's July 27th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is our noontime show here on Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is over at ace-ed.org. That's where we're going to archive this podcast, which we're going to do with the School Superintendents Association, AASA, led by our good friend Dr. Shelley Berman. He's brought some other guests with him to talk about how superintendents and their teams are working in SEL, social emotional learning. And again, tell your friends, it'll be archived at ace-ed.org. That's also where our online journal is. That's called Equity and Access, and our new back-to-school issue was just put up today. Today's July 27th. It's a great issue. Please go over there. Check it out. We're the only ones that cover equity and access, pre-K-12, fully, 100%. You'll love the magazine. You'll love what we do at the consortium website. Again, ace-ed.org, and all our podcasts are over there as well. I'm going to welcome back my good friend Dr. Shelley Berman and also Lisa Zegas from Naperville, Illinois. Hello, Lisa. I'll say hello to you first. How you doing? It's Larry here.
I'm doing great, Larry. Thanks for asking.
And how hot is it in Naperville today? Is it warming up out there?
Oh, yeah, it is. We have quite a bit of a heat wave going on. I think we might hit 100 today.
Oh, man, that's tough out there. I used to live in Deerfield, so I know it all along. Angeline Nichols, did I pronounce your first name right?
Angeline, but thank you, sir.
Angeline, thank you, Angeline. Okay, and she's professional learning specialist, co-chair of the SEL implementation team in magnificent Virginia Beach City, Virginia, on the beach. How's the weather down there?
It's beautiful. It's sunny and 84 today.
So should people go to the beach?
I think so. As long as you get out there in the next little bit, we'll probably get those nice summer afternoon rain showers. But as of right now, it's beautiful outside.
Thanks, Angeline. Everybody go to the beach in Virginia Beach. And now the one and only Dr. Shelley Berman. Shelley, what the hell are you doing out in Washington?
Well, actually, I'm in Redmond, Oregon now.
I'm from New England. Same thing. Redmond, Oregon, Washington,
all
whatever.
Right.
Same thing. Yeah. What are you doing out there?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Larry. And thanks for hosting us.
Did you retire? Are you a retired superintendent now?
Yes, I did retire, and I'm now working with AASA on social emotional learning. Taking on the social emotional learning cohort, which is a cohort of about, each year it varies, but in the cohort, but about 20 to 30 districts who are attempting to move social emotional learning forward and do it collaboratively with each other.
You're the expert, I got to tell you. You have your own website. Everybody just Google Dr. Shelley Berman, Sheldon Berman. You're going to be amazed at what's on his. Is it SheldonBerman.com? I think that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend. And by the way, before we move forward with these wonderful ladies, congratulations to you. Shelley is the 2020 recipient of something called the Mary Utney O'Brien Award for Excellence in Expanding the Evidence-Based Practice of SEL. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Mary Utney O'Brien was a key leader within the Collaborative for Academic Social and Emotional Learning, which is one of the prime organizations in the field that really brought, set the standards, brought forward a lot of materials and a lot of work in the area. It's been a leader, brought the research together. It's been a key organization, and she passed away, but was a fantastic individual and leader in the field, and it's quite an honor to have an award in her name, and so I'm very appreciative of it.
Well, I'm sure it is well-deserved. Just before I get to the ladies, I want to ask you something. Every school district in the country talks about SEL, Shelley, okay, and I know that we are, quote, making progress. All right, but I'm curious as the award winner, give your acceptance speech here for a few minutes. Okay, where do you think it's all going? And I have one other question. Okay. I never hear about this. Maybe you know about it. In undergraduate schools of education, are they teaching teachers how to teach and or incorporate SEL into their teaching? Go for it, and then we'll get back to the ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr.
All
Sheldon
right.
Berman.
Well, thank you, Larry. You know,
I
think social-emotional learning has progressed significantly. You know, one of the things that stood out about the pandemic and is the necessity of us connecting with students and the importance of relationships, the importance
here.
Of the quality of those relationships and creating environments in schools that are positive environments that nurture connection to school and a sense of belonging and a sense of respect and safety among individuals in the school. So it has surfaced the need for us to connect, and people have seen that so clearly during the pandemic. So, you know, we're many of our schools are returning to full in-person in the fall. Some of them returned last year, some of them returned in the spring. But what's emerged is the importance of social-emotional learning. So where I think this is going is that there are a lot of school districts that are looking at what does it mean to implement this well and implement it systemically and take it to scale within a district. And I know that both Lisa and Angela have worked extensively on this their districts. I mean, at Naperville and Virginia Beach, I think, are just examples of some of the best. Not that we're in any perfect situation. You know, this is always evolving, but they have done extraordinary work in their districts.
I don't want it to ever be
so,
perfect,
but
because that means we're going to stop making it better. So it's never supposed to be perfect. Okay, we got to make it better. Lisa, am I pronouncing your name right, Lisa? Lisa Zagas, is that right?
Yeah, I answer to anything. It's Lisa Exagas.
You know, it's Xagas, and I didn't know how to pronounce it. Exagas.
Yes, it's
there.
It's
you
a
go,
unique
Lisa.
Name for
Thank
sure.
you. Thank you. Okay, Lisa Exagas. All right, Assistant Superintendent for Student Services. Okay, at Naperville, Illinois, right outside of Chicago, Community Unit School District 203. As always, Illinois tries to mix us up with where the heck their districts are. All right, giving them crazy numbers and not having making any sense and all that sort of thing. But Lisa, you were at AASA's SEL cohort of meeting. You attended that, all right? You are an assistant superintendent. Angeline is a professional learning specialist, all right? So talk to me about the role of a team, and then also before you do that, just tell everybody about your wonderful school district. Then Angeline, I'm going to ask you the same thing as soon as Lisa is done.
Sure.
Talk about your district.
Yeah.
Brag and then talk about why you were there. Yeah.
Well, we love to brag on Naperville. We, like you said, are in a suburb straight west of Chicago. We have 23 schools, about 16,500 students.
That's a good place.
And we're growing in our diversity here, which we're very excited about. We embarked on the work of SEL starting in the 2014 school year, actually, and spent quite a bit of time building what is our core beliefs about social-emotional learning and what might be our work to move us forward in that area. And since that time, we actually had a curriculum team build an entire early childhood through 12th grade curriculum. We have maps for every grade level that identify what are the skills we are teaching students, what are the resources we're going to use for explicit instruction, what are the opportunities for integrating into all content areas that instruction. We actually ask teachers to have both an academic learning target for every lesson and a social-emotional learning target for every lesson. We measure students' acquisition of SEL skills and report those on the report card. And we actually have SEL teacher leaders in every building who lead that professional learning for their colleagues. So we are excited about the work that we have done, for sure. The role of a team is beyond critical. You know, we have had a lot of educators participate in our curriculum teams or participate as SEL teacher leaders. They've been on the front line of the learning. They've done the heavy lifting of the work. And so from the Board of Education to the superintendent down to all of our teaching assistants, everyone has a role with social-emotional learning, and everyone is on board to push it forward.
And let me ask you this. I want to go back to Shelly, because Shelly, just as I ask you, thank you, Lise, okay, you hear about all the professional development, okay, and all the work that Lisa and I'm sure Angeline's district are doing for SEL, professional development, professional development. So let me ask the question again, Shelley. Are any colleges providing courses helping undergraduate teachers who are going to go into the classroom next year or the year after and understanding teaching at SEL? Dr. Berman?
I think they're beginning. You know, I think this is emerging in a number of the teacher education programs. I think most have recognized that this is a need, and they've either integrated it into courses or had their own course on social-emotional learning. So we're seeing some significant progress in higher education.
I hope we continue to do that because I haven't heard much. And they are, I hate to say this, it's true, they're always behind, okay? By their own admission, they're always behind, which I don't understand, okay? I just can't figure it out, all right? And it's time, you know, there's a lot of pressure on a school district. Lisa, and I know Angeline's going to say the same thing, she's a professional learning specialist, to teach, okay, teachers how to incorporate SEL, and none of them come out of school with really good education in it. Am I right, Angeline? Describe to us Virginia Beach City School District, where you are. I'm sure it's wonderful down there. Okay, and then tell us all about describe it and tell us what you're doing with SEL. You're on the SEL implementation team. Angeline Nichols, everybody.
Thank you, sir. So Virginia Beach City Public Schools is one of the largest school systems in our state. We serve just over 64,000 students.
Wow.
We're big. Across 87 schools. It's a populous city. Our community is unique. It represents a blend of farmland, a thriving resort area, and all of that's kind of immersed in suburban development.
Mm-hmm.
Our work with social-emotional learning can really track back to about 2007 when we saw an increase in a focus in our community really thinking about 21st century skills. Over time, as we've engaged with stakeholders and really listened with our community about what is it that students need to be successful, what emerges are skills like resilience, perspective taking, social awareness, ability to communicate clearly with other people. And so in 2015, social-emotional learning was named as a strategic action in our five-year plan, our Compass to 2020, and it currently is actually one of six goals in our Compass to 2025. We're in year one of our new strategic plan. When we think about social-emotional learning here in Virginia Beach, I think much like Lisa shared, it really is about multiple layers. It's thinking around the classroom environment. How do we create classrooms that are safe, where students have a sense of belonging, they feel they're building meaningful and authentic relationships with their peers mm-hmm. and with adults? It's about incorporating the opportunities to teach some of the skills that we would identify along with social and emotional learning. So we think about self-awareness and self-management. You know, I understand myself and how I show up in the world. From there, we work on skills around social awareness and relationship skills and then move toward responsible decision-making. So when those skills are being taught, critical and important, I think, is that students have meaningful opportunities throughout the day to practice those skills. So it's not something that's only taught in isolation, but really integrated into the way in which we interact and move throughout mm-hmm. our days, you know, in our offices, in our mm-hmm. classrooms, and in our schools.
Mm-hmm. It's everything you just said is so important for someone to grow into a really good adult and citizen. And I think it's just great that you're doing it again. I think you said 2003, for goodness sakes, incorporating this. And I'll go back to what I said before. It's about time that teacher colleges got really into it. That, by the way, was 18 years ago. Okay, so congratulations to you. Okay, so
I'm
just to harp on that one for a second. All right. You just had the cohort last week. Okay, I think it was last week. Angeline, was it last week?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, great. Don't call me sir. You have to call me Larry. Okay, let's do that again.
Yes, sir.
Angeline, was it last week? Right.
Yes,
last
Larry.
Week? Thank you. Thank you.
Larry.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Ma'am. Okay? Just kidding. All right. So we're going to answer two questions. I'm going to stick with you, Angeline. Two questions. A, okay, what did you guys learn? And then B, this is very important, was Shelley really a good teacher and leader? I'm curious. Right.
Okay, so can I start with B?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay, I would say yes. Dr. Berman is an
good.
Excellent
there you
teacher.
Go. One out of two so far. Not bad, Shelley. Not bad. One out of two.
And I will say, you know, I think one of the things that is interesting around social and emotional learning is that it's not just something that's for children, it's for adults. It's the way that we interact with one another.
Right.
And Dr. Berman is the model of what does it look like to put our social and emotional learning into action. And I say that because I think that he listens deeply. He reflects. He's a wealth of knowledge, but also tailors that knowledge to the unique needs. So, for example, in Virginia Beach, we don't have an SEL department. We don't have, you know, one office that houses our work. We approach this from a team. We have an implementation team. It consists of members from across multiple central support offices, along with school staff. So we have school counselors, principals, and classroom teachers. When we were at the summit, so getting to, you know, to question A, what did we learn? Much of what was shared during the panel discussions really connected back to that deeper why of social and emotional learning, and it put that back front and center for our team. We believe that social emotional learning, you know, begins with relationships. It's focused on well-being for students, and it's fundamental to teaching and learning. The capacity through the summit to listen to experts in the field and division leaders that are perhaps farther down the implementation path than we are to really listen to what have they learned along the journey. What were the early steps that they made that they would recommend to others? Where are places that they would, you know, improve their practice? I think helped our team to pause and reflect. I think, you know, one word that sums up our feeling is we feel very affirmed. We know this is long scale work. And so being able to really to connect with other divisions and to connect with leaders in the field really does help us stay the course.
How many people on your team attended?
Over the 2 days, we had a variety, but upwards a little bit, 20, 25.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's just great because so many people are involved in this, and I just want to get back to what you said earlier. You know, SEL is not only for the kids, it's for the adults, and it's also for the way teachers react to students. We have to keep that in mind. Okay, teachers have a stressful job. They see a lot of kids. Okay, and we got to teach ourselves, if I may, the same way, same things that we teach our kids about resilience and confidence and all that sort of stuff. I think what you did is great, and I'm thrilled that 20 people attend. So now we go to Lisa Exagas. Okay, can you top that? Was Shelley a good leader? Okay, that's A. All right, and we'll try to get him a 2 out of 2. Then he moves on to the finals. Okay, so right. So Lisa,
well, I hope it's a bracket.
It's a fabulous move. It's unbelievable. Okay, and also, talk about your experience there. How many people attended? What'd you learn, etc. Lisa Exagas, from Naperville.
I will echo what Angeline shared about Shelley. I do think he absolutely embodies what adult SEL competencies look like. I think that he and his entire team that planned the cohort and the summit, they really did. They sent a survey in advance asking what were the main topics people wanted to focus on, using that feedback to then clearly plan the agenda, which I think was helpful to everyone that attended. In Naperville, we had 5 leaders that participated in the full summit. We are, as Shelley knows, because he's helping guide us in this, we're about to embark in what we're calling SEL 2.0. And so we have some things we might revise or redo about our planning. And Shelley and his team have been awesome in being responsive to that and providing us additional guidance and learning. And the summit also really helped us with that. We know that, you know, what we learned, I like Angeline's word of affirmed, and we do feel like we're on the right path, but we also know, and what was affirmed for us is this work takes time, and everyone is kind of struggling at the same hurdles. A few years ago, it was, in the world of SEL, everyone was struggling with assessment. How are you going to assess these skills? And now it's, how are we using SEL as a lever for equity in a way mm-hmm. that meets the needs of every student and every staff member? And I think a lot of that conversation at the summit helped to reinforce and reinvigorate those conversations.
It really does. And please, all of you, join our consortium, please, for equity in education. Enjoy our magazine over there. I'm just going to take advantage of this at ace-ed.org. Great magazine and a terrific website. You'll enjoy it if you go over there. We are all about equity. We're all about access. Okay? And Shelley, I love the way you set up the seminar. What were the main topics that they all wanted to do? What's at the forefront right now that you're finding? Is it just equity? Is that the word we're going to go with?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you to both Lisa and Angela. And I didn't expect
you to
ask
questions
about me.
You have moved up to the knockout
really,
bracket. You've moved up to the knockout bracket. So I'm very proud of you. It doesn't go out. Go ahead.
But I do want to say that both of them are just truly exceptional leaders within their districts and have done remarkable work to bring SEL forward and really move it to a systemic level. So I just have a debt of gratitude for their work, and I just admire the way they work and the way they lead in their systems. You know, the summit focused on a couple of issues. First of all, we had a diversity of districts. You know, on the one hand, we had Naperville and Virginia Beach, which bringing their rich experience to the exchange with other districts. We had a number of districts that were just at the beginning stages and saying, we know we have to do something. We're not clear on what to do. So we actually launched it with Linda Darling Hammond, really talking about the vision for what does it mean to have a vision for a comprehensive program. And then we tried to dig deeply into the issues of implementation and assessment. So on the one hand, what lessons could we learn? We had a number of the leading program people in the country who had worked with districts talk about what they had learned from their experience in working with multiple districts. Where was their success, and what were the what factors led to that success? And then we brought in two superintendents and one SEL lead from Atlanta, big urban superintendents who've been working on this for 10 years, talking about what were the lessons that they learned. And it was interesting because their lessons from the inside were, that we needed to work with adults early, that we needed to spend more time with adults and not just see this as fixing kids, that we have to fix the environment, and it's all about the environment. There was a lot of discussion about voice, for student voice and agency, and how we could, through social-emotional learning, promote their sense of not only belonging, but their sense of efficacy and confidence. And then we closed the session around, how do you chart progress? How do we enable adults to understand that we are making progress, both in the area of implementation and in the area of skill development for students? And so we had a number of panelists who were there to talk about various strategies for achieving that. I think one of the core elements, and both Lisa and Angela referred to this, one of the core elements where we convene communities of practice so that, for example, both Lisa and Angela participated in, and some members of her team participated in these communities of practice. So, for example, assistant superintendents would get together, superintendents would get together, principals, teachers, counselors, and talk about what they were struggling with and what insights they had and what implementation plans their various districts were moving forward with, so that they got insight from each other. A large part of this, our attempt in designing the summit was to give people as much of an opportunity to get to know each other, even though it was virtual, to exchange ideas, to communicate what they were doing and learn from others about what was going on in other districts that may be of benefit to them. And then we actually allocated time for district teams to meet and and to spend time refining their implementation plans. It was exciting. At the end, 10 of the districts volunteered to talk about their implementation plans and share those with the entire audience that participated. I really look forward. This next year, our cohort will meet again on a monthly basis, and hopefully we will be having site visits, and I'm sure that I'll be approaching both Angela and Lisa about visits to their district so that people can see up close what their work is involves and how we can support the collective effort of all these districts to move forward.
Well, it's really excellent, and I have to ask you, I was kidding a little bit about how long this has taken. And actually, I wasn't kidding, but I was saying it in a humorous manner, but I wasn't kidding. And I really believe we all got caught short with the pandemic, okay? And we recognized, okay, that we really haven't taken care of this as well as we should have. Great people like you guys have been talking about it for years, all right? But it's always kind of put off to the side a little bit. Then the pandemic hit, all right? And, man, did we ever need social emotion. Now the kids are coming back after a year and a half away. Some places they are back. What's the thought? Put the pandemic into this, Shelley, and feel free to ask both Lisa and Angela, and you can go over to both of them. But I'll start with you, Shelley. The pandemic and SEL. Yeah, their kids are coming back.
I think what we've realized twofold. One is the importance of relationships. It's when teachers and students have a relationship, when students have relationships with each other, when they feel like they belong, then you can teach much more effectively. And going virtual and struggling with, some students not having the equipment or the capability of learning virtually, we learned how important that was. And on the other hand, returning, we also realized that there's a tremendous amount of trauma that has taken place over the last year. And the only way we're going to get through the trauma is to pay attention to the social emotional, well-being of our students. And I think I'll pass this on to Lisa and Angela to build on
that. All right,
let's
go. Thank you. And let's go to Lisa. Lisa Exagus, everybody, from Naperville. Lise, everybody talked about – I just want to throw this into this question. Everybody talked about learning loss, okay? Kids can always learn the name of George Washington's horse. I say that. I was a history teacher, okay? But there's a lot of other things we can teach these kids, and we've learned what we need to teach them with this pandemic. Talk again, put everything into the pandemic.
Sure.
Lisa.
Yeah, sure. So I've heard the term learning loss. It's not my favorite. I prefer the term learning loss.
No, I hate it.
Yeah, I prefer learning leaps because I think our kids have learned a great deal of skills that they would not have learned had we not experienced this pandemic.
Thank you. I'm going to make my line. Wait, I'm going to give you my line. We're mixing up learning loss with curriculum loss. There's a big difference. These kids learn plenty, okay? It's the curriculum they might have been able to cover. So please go ahead. I love throwing that in there. Please be my guest. Go ahead. Go.
No, I love that. I'm going to steal that.
Thank you. It's yours.
I love it. So I do think there's a silver lining of the pandemic, and that's that everyone in the community and the world understand the impact of social-emotional learning now and its importance. And I think if anyone was doubting that before, obviously the pandemic put a highlight on the need to feel like you're part of something. And I at the very beginning, I was telling everybody that socially distant does not mean socially disconnected, and so we need to make sure people understand the importance of that. I also think, to build on what Shelley said as well about that acute trauma that people are experiencing, it also has highlighted the fact that our teachers also experienced acute trauma, and our administrators experienced acute trauma, and our parents also experienced. And so while that was a shared experience, everyone had a different boat that they were rowing through that experience with, and we need to be prepared to support every member of our school community when we launch schools again in August, because we've all experienced something that, you know, our generation has not previously, and we hope never to again. But what can we take as lessons learned? What can we take as those learning leaps that we really grew our skills in? And
learning
then how
leaps.
Do we address some of that trauma?
Here, here. I love it. Thank you, Lisa. I'd ask Angela, but I'm sure she convinced herself to go to the beach. Is that true, Angela? Are you still there?
I am still here with you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for holding out. Okay. I appreciate that. What's your thoughts on what you learned from the cohort and the effect of the pandemic on SEL in your district?
I think that we realized pretty quickly on in Virginia Beach that although SEL had been a priority, it was certainly brought into sharper focus when we, you know, we had about the span of a weekend when our
yeah.
closed schools to transition
March
to full
13th.
Virtual learning.
Yep, yep.
And
yep.
So right away we began to have those conversations of how do we stay connected with our students, how do we stay connected with our staff, how do we build and maintain those relationships. And I like what Lisa had to say, that being socially distant does not mean that we're disconnected. We formed as an off-branch of our social-emotional learning implementation team a trauma-informed practice work group. And again, that is a team approach in our division and began really having conversations around what does trauma mean? What does it mean to experience a communal adversity? What happens to the brain when we're undergoing stress? And it, in a way, allowed us to be more intentional about the way in which we were approaching our social and emotional learning. It helped us to put a trauma-informed lens on the way in which we were approaching. So last summer, we engaged in a series of empathy interviews with students, simply
nice.
Asking questions,
nice.
You know, what are you... What are you looking forward to? What hopes do you have for the next school year? And what worries do you have? And we were able to look at that data from our students, kind of K-12, and begin thinking about a plan that supported that. That informed our leadership conference. We prioritized trauma-informed social-emotional learning, really thinking about the components of safety. What does it mean to be physically and emotionally safe as a learner? And this is for students and adults. How do we prioritize relationships? In what ways do we make certain that predictability, consistency are present daily? We think about regulation, you know, and we have a tiered system of supports in our approach here in Virginia Beach. So how are we supporting students to name and understand emotions? What does that look like in practice? How do we do that in a way that's developmentally responsive? And we know that when we prioritize that safety, meaningful relationships and regulation and co-regulation. And I think, you know, to Lisa's point, how are we caring for our adults? You know, what does it look like to not just talk about self-care, but put systems in place in schools where adults can regulate and support one another? Those are those foundational pieces that will lead to success with academics and with learning.
Angela, that was beautifully said. I do want to ask, as you, when we say all of these things, and you with your team, Lisa with her team, et cetera, okay, but I just want to say it this way, and please don't misunderstand, we're in an ivory tower as we say these things. We want to implement it. On the ground, okay, with your educators, with the teachers, how do the teachers react to all this as we go through this? Angela, I'll ask you first. How do teachers react? Because they're busy. They're busy people, okay? You know,
I
get that. Yeah.
No, I mean, I get that. I do think that they are busy. And so I think in order to make a significant difference for teachers, not to sidestep the question, we have to We have to think about our leadership. What are the things that we're prioritizing and communicating? How are we communicating to teachers what we think is important and valuable? We are a site-based system in Virginia Beach, so our principals have strong teams in their schools for their instructional leadership teams. One of the ways we tried to communicate and connect with teachers this year is we held a trauma-informed symposium. So we had a half day where we brought over 750 of our staff members together
wow.
to engage in shared learning, to really help frame the compelling why, not just what are we doing, but why is this important in the daily lived experience of the students that come into each of our buildings? In what ways are we able to to connect with students so that they want to come, whether that's face-to-face or virtual? You know, what are those key components? We've held teacher panel webinars where we've invited the teachers who are doing this really well in their classrooms to tell their stories, to share examples. I think every opportunity we can to allow teachers to learn with and from other teachers moves this work forward. It's taking the, you know, there's the theory, and I think you mean that with the ivory tower. There's these theories, and it sounds good, but what does it look like at the practical level when I've got students, you know, I mean, we had teachers that were teaching students face to, towards the end of the year, kind of in a hybrid model. Some students were learning from home. We allowed families choice in Virginia Beach.
Of course.
You know, with what they felt was safe and right for their families. But we also had students in the building. So navigating that, you know, the teachers are the experts in what it looks like and what works well.
I agree.
So I think for us, and, that's a piece of it. It's really tapping into to their expertise. Leveraging PLCs.
I mean, they're good at what they do. But as I mentioned, they're busy. This is something that should not be additional, but is, okay, at this stage game. Lisa,
sure.
What's happening in Naperville? Boots on the ground. What's happening?
From the very beginning, we've taken the approach of, you know, SEL is not something else on the plate. SEL is the plate. And when you do SEL well, it holds up all the rest of the work. And, you know, to bring this conversation almost back full circle, right, we were talking about professional learning, professional development. We actually brought in people who volunteered and applied to be SEL teacher leaders and gave them intense professional learning and used the CASEL framework. And then those educators acted as SEL teacher leaders. And we provided all educators 3 years worth of multiple modules of professional learning on social emotional learning. What is it? Why would you do it? How do you do it? What's the impact on academics? What about adult competencies? And one of the key turning points for us, you know, if you talk teacher buy-in and when they finally said, you know, some people obviously bought in from the beginning. They understand that kids need to feel connected and that these are skills kids learn. Some of the holdouts really came along when we showed them the connection to the Common Core. We talked a lot about your Common Core state standards. In order for you, your students, to demonstrate the capacities of a literate individual or, you know, those mathematical practices such as, you know, perseverance, those are SEL skills. So a student cannot master and be proficient in their Common Core academic skills unless they also have some level of mastery of these emotional skills.
Wow. That's impressive. Okay. You're exactly right. This comes together. Go ahead, Shelley. You've got about 3 minutes. Go ahead, Shelley.
Well, you know, to sort of emphasize what both Angela and Lisa have said, you know, one of the things that we don't often recognize is that when teachers actually focus in on SEL skills, when they set up processes in their classroom so that students are able to feel like they belong and feel cared about, teaching becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when we've implemented programs that really focus on the sense of community in the classroom, that teachers find it easier to teach. There are fewer discipline issues. There's more collaboration between students, small groups work more effectively, that they support, and students support each other in a much more constructive way. So, you know, one of the things that I have found in the professional development I provided, and I think probably Lisa and Angela can speak to this as well, is that teachers, once they adopt those practices, they have a hard time turning around and saying that was different and that was hard. They actually say, thank goodness, I'm really grateful that I learned this because it makes my classroom so much more effective.
Yeah.
I don't know, Angela and Lisa, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
We got to go. Actually, there's not enough time. We're going to have to leave it at that,
sorry.
Unfortunately. That's okay. I loved it. Are you kidding me? You three are doing great work. Okay, and keep it up and keep talking to these other districts and to make it happen. And do me a favor, call your local teacher college and tell them to get a course going, okay, so that you guys don't, all of it doesn't fall on every school district, which are busy enough, okay? SEL is part of education now. And if an undergraduate in education aren't including it and talking about it all the time. They're making a huge error in their training. If your doctor left and they forgot to teach them how to work a stethoscope, okay, it wouldn't be good. Okay? And it's the same thing here. All right? And just think about it that way. You guys are terrific. I got to go. We're running out of time. Lisa, Angela, Shelley, thank you all. You're wonderful. Stay safe, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
Who called me sir? Who called me sir? Who did that? Right. Okay.
Take care, ma'am, Larry.
Thank you, Angela. Be good, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Our old friend Shelley Berman, Dr. Sheldon Berman, formerly of Andover here in Massachusetts, there in Massachusetts, I'm in Maine, now running the AASA-SEL cohorts for them. Lisa Exagas from Naperville, assistant superintendent. Angela Nichols, who's at the beach already, okay, down in Virginia Beach City School District. Wonderful people, great stuff. AASA.org, School Superintendents Association. They're excellent. Check out what we're doing at ace-ed.org. I got to go. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.